We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We had learned the Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, had said, if one learns with the intention, with the intent, on the condition that he will fulfill what he's learned, so then he will succeed in learning and teaching and fulfilling what he's learned. Rabbi Tzadok taught, that's where we're up to, Al ta'aseh matara litgadel ba. Don't make the Torah into a crown that gives you pride. Don't use it as a shovel or a rake, something to dig or cut with. And this is what Hillel used to say. If someone uses the crown of Torah, Taga is a crown. Now the crowns in a Sefer Torah are called Tagim, right? Crowns, the little lines on top of the letters. So whoever uses the crown of Torah will pass from the world. If someone benefits from the words of Torah, he is actually removing his life from the world. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains, don't make the words of Torah like a crown, that a person makes himself greater and gets honor in this world through his Torah. Person enjoys the honor he gets while he's using the Torah for his own benefit. Zulati michaven lechavod haTorah, but there are exceptions. Sometimes a person has to do things because it's not his own honor; it's the honor of the Torah. There was a great rabbi in Europe. His name was Rav Gustman. He was under 20 when he was appointed to the High Court of Europe, the court of Rav Chaim Ozer. He came into the court, and the whole court stood up in his honor. So after the court proceedings, he went to Rav Chaim Ozer, the head of the court, and he said, I'm very uncomfortable. So Rav Chaim Ozer said to him, what are you uncomfortable about? He said, I walked in, everyone stood up. So Rav Chaim Ozer said, no one stood up for you. They stood up for the Torah. What are you being uncomfortable for? It has nothing to do with you. So if a person's intention is for the honor of Torah, it says in Halacha that if they're going to honor someone with making the blessing of Amotzi over bread, there's a big meal, and they're going to honor someone. There's a Kohen present, but there's a Talmid Chacham present. So they tell the Talmid Chacham, you make the blessing on the bread. So it says it's wrong if the Talmid Chacham says, but there's a Kohen, honor him. Because what he's saying is, his kahuna supersedes my Torah. Not true. If he's a Talmid Chacham and the Kohen isn't, then he should not say, honor the Kohen. Because when he's saying that, it's not his own honor that he's putting down, it's the honor of Torah that he's putting down. So sometimes the question of honor is not a personal question. So when it's a question of the honor of Torah, then a person shouldn't forgo that. We don't have a right to forgo the Torah's honor. When it's a question of our own honor, so there Chazal said, don't use the Torah for your own honor. Yes?
Last week, I think it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was eating from his own grapes, and then one of the workers took him.
Rabbi Tarfon, yeah.
Did he die because of that?
No.
He said it removes you from the world.
That's true. He tried doing tshuva for it. He spent his whole life regretting it.
He said he should have paid him off, remember?
Right. It was his level of piety. The Gemara says, "Kol yamav shel oto tzaddik," all the days of that pious one. The Gemara views it as a level of piety. Ki kshosin lo kavod, haTorah mitchabedet b'zeh. There are situations where if they honor him, they're honoring the Torah. So a person shouldn't put down the Torah. V'im kavanat haChacham lichvod haTorah lo lichvodo b'lev shalem mutar. And when a person is on the level where he's doing it with true intent for the honor of Torah, that's mutar, and that's why we find in the Shas, that there were times that the rabbis would not forgo their honor, because they were on a level that they knew that they weren't fighting for their own honor. They were fighting for the Torah's honor. If we would be on that level, then perhaps we wouldn't forgo honor either. Today, a person questions himself and says, can I really say it's not my honor? Can I really say I'm fighting for the Torah's honor? And when a person isn't confident that his intentions are pure, so then a person says, leave it, don't honor me. But that stems from a weakness. In the Talmud, we find rabbis who would not forgo their honor, and that's because there was nothing personal about it. When they were on a level that they knew it had nothing to do with their own honor, then they fought for their honor. Not their honor, the Torah's honor, but you have to be pure for that. You have to be worthy of that. So that's the first idea. Rabbi Tzadok says, don't make the Torah your own crown to be great by it. And perhaps because of this concept that you have to be pure when you honor the Torah as opposed to honoring yourself, that's why we find that the sages in our time will very often be very humble, to the point that Rav Moshe Feinstein was climbing the steps and behind him was a student named Moshe, my wife's uncle. And another student yelled up the steps and said, Moish, to my wife's uncle. And Rav Moshe turned around and said, yeah. Because that humility, that when a person doesn't feel like it's their own honor, it's the Torah's honor. So you said, Moish, you didn't mean me. Oh, okay. Say that. You see, Rabbi Feinstein would sign his letters Moshe Feinstein. He once called up a student, and the kid answered the phone. And the kid asked, who is it? So he said, Moshe Feinstein. So the kid said, and I'm Superman, and hung up the phone. Okay. He didn't say Rabbi. He said Moshe Feinstein. When a person can say it's the Torah's honor, so then they'll fight for the Torah's honor. When it's a question of their own honor, who needs that honor? Ve'lo kardom lachpor bam. Shelo ye'ene ba'em ana'at mamon. A person shouldn't make money off his Torah. A person shouldn't use Torah at all. So this, as you know, halachically, we have ruled that if we don't do this, we're not on a level where we'll have anyone learning Torah. If we don't take money for teaching Torah, then we won't have anyone teaching Torah. It could be that 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, there were still people on the level where they could learn and they could work and they could be knowledgeable and they could teach. And Am Yisrael was doing fine. As you find in the days of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar, Rabbi Yochanan used to fix shoes, right? He was a cobbler. You have Rabbi Yoshua, the great sage, the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, was a blacksmith. You have, throughout Jewish history, or more specifically, in the periods of the Mishnah, so you have the rabbis had jobs. Rava used to tell his students, "Bimatuta minaychu, I beg you, lo titchazu kamai, I don't want to see you. V'yomei tishreyu v'yomei nisan." That's the idea of Bein Hazmanim. Why do we have a break in the month of Tishrei and Nisan? Because Rava used to tell his students, go make money, that way you'll be able to learn the rest of the year. So they lived in poverty, but they worked and they learned. Approximately 800 years ago, the rabbis came to a conclusion that if we're going to keep doing that, there won't be any rabbis. People have to be dedicated to learning, and the only way they can do it is if they have other sources of funding. And even the Rambam, who writes so strongly against getting money for learning Torah, was supported by his brother. He had a wealthy businessman for a brother, and for many years he was learning Torah as his brother supported him. What the Rambam yelled against was situations where people were learning Torah and forcing the community against their will to pay for their learning. That, the Rambam says, is a desecration of Hashem's name. But if someone willfully wants to support someone who's learning Torah, so the Rambam writes, the Gemara writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that's one level of learning Torah. Every Jew has to learn Torah. But if a person sees that he won't get a high level, so then a person can fund others who learn Torah, and that's also considered that he's partaking of learning Torah. That's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Hillel learned in dire poverty throughout his days. And then when he became the great Hillel, so he had a brother who was a wealthy businessman. So his brother came to him after he was chief rabbi and said, I'd like to support you. Now by then he didn't need his support anymore. By then Hillel was wealthy. So his brother said, I'll give you a lot of money, and you'll give me a lot of the merits of your learning Torah. And Hillel said, no, thank you. And from there the Talmud says that you can't buy retroactively. You have to make an investment before it goes up. You can't come to someone once they've learned and say, now I want to buy half your Torah, let me pay you. No. If you help the person and you're a partner with them as they're learning, so then your money has bought you shares in that learning of Torah. But you can't buy retroactively. You can't come to the stock market and say, I want to buy the stock at the price it was 15 years ago, and then I'll make all the money it's made now. You have to invest in the stock when it's low, and then you make the money as it goes up. The same is with the Torah. Yes?
Where do
started, when you started to talk about the subject, we talked about the money needed to teach Torah. We didn't have any rabbis. Then somewhere along the line we switched to learning.
Right. If you don't learn, you have no one to teach.
But there's a difference between, you know, learning 20 years and learning 60 years. I'm not saying it's wrong, but we certainly have a case today. It's totally legitimate. It's a part of the political system where you get in power, you get certain stipends, and the yeshiva distributes to people who learn. There are plenty of secular people, community people who would not like to do that, but, you know, that's the system. So it's not so clean where the, you know, teaching is obvious that's a full-time job and they're giving that to their people for whatever reason. You know, they choose to spend time learning, call it not teaching, right? And that's, that the question is, should the public push to pay for that?
That's a broader question. Yeah. We can't really cover that scope here. But again, what we see is, in an ideal world, a person should be able to work and learn. The rabbis came to a conclusion about 800 years ago that if we try that, we won't succeed. And so that if we want learned people, we need to support them so that they can focus on their learning. And ever since then, we've been more lenient about the stipends that we give. That a person who's a rabbi of a community or a person who's teaching. And the logic behind it is, if we don't do it, we won't have anyone teaching.
I heard that it was true, but I heard that Hong Kong was working until he had enough money for the day and then closed the store.
That's what they say. I don't know. V'chen haya Hillel omer, and Hillel used to say as follows, V'dishtamesh b'taga cholaf. Someone who uses the crown of Torah will pass from the world. Taga, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Lashon Keter Ketarguma. The word taga in Aramaic means crown. All benefits from Torah cause a person to leave the world. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, Ne'eneb Divrei Torah Ba'olam Hazeh, Hare Zeh Notel Chayav Na'olam Haba. When a person enjoys his Torah in this world, meaning he makes money off it, he benefits off of it, so that benefit he is really taking off of his credit in the world to come. Our sages were not only talking about the benefits of money and honor. Even if a person saves himself from death, using the honor of Torah, when he could have saved himself a different way, through money, or a different way, that's also prohibited. That now he's going to bring us the story of Rabbi Tarfon, where they tied him up and they were going to throw him into the river. They thought he was a bandit. They thought he was a robber, and so they were going to throw him in the river. As they're taking him to the river, he said, "Oh no, Tarfon, this guy's going to kill you." When they recognized he was Rabbi Tarfon, they put him down and ran away. The Talmud in Tractate Nedarim tells us his whole life, he regretted it. Woe to me, I used the honor of Torah, the crown of Torah. Whoever uses it does not have a portion in the world to come. So the Gemara says, what was wrong? Was he supposed to die? No. So the Gemara says, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon Asher Gadol Haya. Rabbi Tarfon at that point in his life was very wealthy. And he could have paid his way out of it. And the Talmud also says in Baba Basra, we'll get to that in a second. Lawrence, you said something. I didn't catch it. Again?
How do you use Torah for money and honor? Money and honor.
Using Torah for honor is that for example, a person wants to use his fame or his position so that people will give him benefits. The rabbis, it said, used to consider when the students would stand up anyways to walk into the room, so the students wouldn't stand up in their honor. They'd wait till the time where everyone was standing, or they'd show up early before everyone else so that they wouldn't have to walk in and everyone would stand up. But a person could do the exact opposite. It's a good feeling, everyone, for some people, I guess. He's going to walk and everyone's going to stand up. So that's, he used the Torah to gain his own honor. And for money, would be a scenario where Again, a person uses the Torah and he says, you want me to teach you, pay me.
I have a speeding ticket. I had an example. His wife beat him up for it. He's a sweet guy. He didn't know better. No names. He recently became assistant rabbi. What the next company, nice guy. Pulled over the street and he said to the officer, I've just finished officiating this wedding and I have to be late. Rabbi, excuse you, rabbi, okay. You know what I mean? His wife said, but you shouldn't have done that. He thought about it. He said, you're right. But that's a way of getting out of using it for,
Okay. Yeah.
It did go longer than he thought it would, and it really wasn't a hurry to get somewhere else, so it's not. But still, Rabbi Tarfon wouldn't have done it.
Right. Vemrinan. I could tell you that there are times that I buy things and I get someone else to get a price quote for me. Because I'm scared they're going to give me a better price. They're going to say, oh, Rabbi, we want to give you a good price. But no. That's called using the honor of Torah. No. There are situations in our yeshuv where I'll ask other people to get a price quote for me. Yeah? Yeah?
So I wanted to ask a question about Papa. If we have a situation that we after what we ate was Hazibaha Akhona or Hashia or Hashaha Akhona or Kolein Hashos, then we say Kolein Hashos and he gets set for and like cover it.
No, I don't think so.
Because